The Midnight Special comes to you every week on WFMT in Chicago at 98.7 FM. Most of the time, Chicago is fine art station. No, all the arts are fine. And it is followed every Saturday night, round about this time, by Folk Stage. And here's this week's program.
My brother Dave Friend, when he first took me down to the old town school, I just used to kind of sit off in the corner and watch everybody. Then I'd go home and practice on my guitar, and pretty soon he talked me into taking some lessons down there. I don't know how good a student I was, but evidently they gave me enough time to learn three chords, and that's all I needed to make up some words. I remember I was trying to pick like Mississippi John Hurt and like Elizabeth Cotton, and then I heard Doc Watson and Merle Travis, and I couldn't pick like any of them, so I started picking the first part of it like one of them, the second part like another. And I'd goof it all up, and I found out if you goof it up steadily, it becomes a style.
And that style is John Prine. Welcome to Folk Stage, and a concert by John Prine is taped at Orchestra Hall in Chicago at a special big benefit for the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago back this past January. And without further ado, here's John Prine.
And that club was burning. I'm the toad singer in song. And the sweat was flooding her ass. The catwalk squeaked beneath the bartender's feet. And the smoke was too heavy to rise. She sang of the love and laughter. Another woman that she'll never be. It made me feel like a buck and a quarter. Yeah, I paid him to listen and see. Hey, I paid him to listen and see. I was born out in Kansas, beneath the October sky. I worked the day shift from 7 to 3. And the only relief that I received was near my God TV. She constantly throws me off timing, leaves me standing both naked and bare. Makes me feel like the Sunday funnies after everything's gone off the air. Everything's gone off the air. I picked through the ashes of the torch singer's song, and I ordered my money around. But whiskey and pain both taste the same during the time to go down. And she sang of the love and laughter, another woman that she'll never be. It made me feel like a buck and a quarter. Yeah, I paid him to listen and see. He paid him to listen and see.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, this is a real treat for me to be able to play for the Old Town School here and do something for them, because they did a lot for me. I'd still be messing somebody's mail up, you know.
I've been thinking lately about the people I meet. The car wash on the corner and the hole in the street. The way my ankles hurt with shoes on my feet. I'm wondering if I'm gonna see tomorrow. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us and we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in a heaven. I was in the army, but I never dug a trench. Used to bust my knuckles on a monkey wrench. I go to town and drink, give the girls a pinch. I don't think they ever even noticed me. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. Fish and whistle, and whistle and fish. Eat everything that they put on your dish. When we get through, we'll make a big wish that we never have to do this again. Again? Again? Oh, my very first job, I said thank you and please. They made me scrub a parking lot down on my knees. Then I got fired for being scared of bees. And they only give me 50 cents an hour. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in a heaven.
Take it, John.
Fish and whistle and fish. Eat everything that they put on your dish. When we get through, we'll make a big wish that we never have to do this again. Again? Again? Oh, Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. We'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. We'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. Just like on Mayberry.
Listen, listen.
Thank you. Small town, bright lights, Saturday night. Pinballs and pool halls are flashing their lights. Making change behind a counter in a penny arcade sat the fat girl daughter of Virginia Ann Ray. Lydia. Lydia here. Her thoughts like a cat, behind her small eyes, sunk deep in her fat. She read a romance magazine up in her room, and felt just like Sunday on Saturday afternoon. But dreaming just comes natural, like her first breath from a baby, like sunshine feeding daisy. Like a love hidden deep in your heart. Bunk beds, shaved heads, Saturday night. A warehouse of strangers with 60 white lights. Staring through the ceiling, just wanting to be. Lay one of too many, a young PFC. Donald. There were spaces between Donald and whatever he said. Strangers had forced him to live in his head. He'd envisioned the details of romantic scenes after midnight in the stillness of the barracks latrine. But dreaming just comes natural, like the first breath from a baby, like sunshine feeding daisies, like the love hidden deep in your heart. hot love, cold love, no love at all. A portrait of guilt is hung on the wall. Nothing is wrong and nothing is right. Donald and Lydia made love that night. Love. They made a love in the mountains. They made a love in the streams. They made a love in the valleys. They made a love in their dreams. But when they were finished, there was nothing to say. 'Cause mostly they made love from 10 miles away. But dreaming just comes natural, like the first breath from a baby, like sunshine feeding daisies, like love hidden deep in your heights. Thank you. Thank you. Here's a goofy little song here. When I write something like this, it makes me all the more thankful that I can put it into a song. Otherwise, I'd just walk around with this thing in my head. This is about a family that goes out for a weekend trip, and nobody ever sees them again. You know, there's all kinds of dangers out there. The story of the bottomless lake. Here's a story of a man and his family and a big trip that they took. Well, I heard all about it in a restaurant and I read it in a history book. They rented a car at the Erie Canal, but the car didn't have no brake. 7 miles to pie, my God, this car is gonna fall into the bottomless lake. Mama turned to Daddy with a pale face, said I've done something horribly wrong. The water's still running in the bathtub, and I think I left the kitchen light on. Then I heard a crash, and the car went splash. The compass rolled around and around. Oh, for heaven's sake, we fell in a lake, and I think we're all gonna drown. We are falling down, down to the bottom of a hole in the ground. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. I'm so scared I could hardly breathe. I may never see my sweetheart again. There was plenty of food in the back seat, and the windows was rolled up tight. So we all nibbled on a chicken leg and told stories way through the night. Well, Pa told one that he told before, and the baby got a belly he ate. Said my to Pa, my God, this car is falling down the bottomless lake. We are falling down, down to the bottom of a hole in the ground. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. I'm so scared I can hardly breathe. I may never see my sweetheart again. Well, Papa played the music on the radio, then Mama rocked the baby to sleep. He said he would have taken the other road, but he didn't think the lake was that deep. If the ferry'd been there at the end of the pier, we'd be halfway to Uncle Jake's. Instead of looking at fish out the window, I wish we'd hit the bottom of the bottomless lake. But we are falling down, down to the bottom of a hole in the ground. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. I'm so scared I can hardly breathe. I may never see my sweetheart again. This is a moral here at the end because I didn't have an end for this story. I didn't want to kill these nice people. So if you're ever going on a big trip, you better be careful out there. We'll start everything on your good foot. Wear clean underwear. Take along a Bible in the backseat. Read of David and of Solomon. Boy, if you make a mistake in the bottomless lake, you may never see your sweetheart again. If you should make a mistake in the bottomless lake, you may never see your sweetheart again. If you should make a mistake in the bottomless lake, you may never see your sweethearts again. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Sam Stone came home to his wife and family after serving in the conflict overseas. And the time that he'd served had shattered all his nerves and left a little shrapnel in his knee. But the morphine eased the pain, and the glass grew round his brain, and gave him all the confidence he'd lacked. With a purple heart and a monkey on his back, there's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes, and Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios. Sam Stone's welcome home didn't last too long. He went to work when he'd spent his last dime, and Sammy took to stealing when he got that empty feeling for $100 habit without overtime. And the gold rope his veins like 1,000 railroad trains, and eased his mind in the hours that he chose, while the kids ran around wearing other people's clothes. There's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes, and Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios. Sam Stone was alone when he popped his last balloon, climbing walls while sitting in a chair. Well, he played his last request while the room smelled just like death, with an overdose hovering in the air. But life had lost its fun, and there was nothing to be done. The trader's house that he bought on the G.I. Bill, a four-flag draped casket on a local hero's hill. There's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes, and Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, could you please welcome back out David Brownberg? He's going to help me pick on it. This is the way the world goes around.
Got a lot to lose. He's a pretty nice fella, kind of confused. Got muscles in his head, ain't never been used. Thinks he owns half of this town. Started drinking heavy, got a big red nose. Beat his old lady with a rubber hose. Then he took her out to dinner, bought her new clothes. It's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round. You're up one day, the next you down, it's a happening to water. You think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world goes round. Sitting in the bathtub, counting my toes when the radiator broke. Water all froze, I got stuck in the ice without my clothes, naked as the eyes of a clown. I was crying ice cubes, hoping I'd croak when the sun come through the window. The ice all broke, I stood up and laughed, thought it was a joke. It's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round. You're up one day, the next you're down. It's a half an inch of water, you think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes around. You're up one day, the next you're down. It's a half an inch of water, you think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way the world goes back. Thank you. David and I are going to do a song here that Steve Goodman and I used to duet on. Called Souvenirs. All the snow has turned to water. Christmas days have come and gone. Broken toys and faded colors are all that's left to linger on. And I hate graveyards and old pawn shops. for they always bring me tears. I can't forgive the way they robbed me of my childhood souvenirs. Memories that can't be bought, they can't be won at carnivals for free. Well, it took me years to get those souvenirs, and I don't know how they slipped away from me. Hearts and dirty windows make life difficult to say. That's why last night and this morning always looked the same to me. And I hate reading old love letters, for they always bring me tears. I can't forgive the way they robbed me of my sweetheart's souvenirs. Memories that can't be bought, they can't be won at carnivals for free. Well, it took me years to get those souvenirs, and I don't know how they slipped away from me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There's a hello in there. There. We had an apartment in the city, and me and Loretta liked living there. Well, it's been years since the kids have grown a life of their own and left us alone. John and Linda live in Omaha, and Joe is somewhere on the road. We lost Davy in the Korean War, and I still don't know what for. It don't matter anymore. You know that old trees just grow stronger, the old rivers grow wilder every day. Old people just grow lonesome, waiting for someone to say hello in there. Hello. Thank you.
Me and Loretta, we don't talk much more. She sits and stares through the back door screen. And all the news just repeats itself like some forgotten dream that we both seen. Someday I'm going to call Rudy. We work together at the factory. But what can I say if you ask what's new? Nothing was with you. Nothing much to do. You know that old trees just grow stronger. And old rivers grow wilder every day. Old people just grow lonesome, waiting for someone to say hello in there, hello. So if you're walking down the streets in town and spot some hollow ancient ass, well, please don't just pass him by and stare as if he didn't care. Say hello in there. Hello.
David Brownberg.
With my special guest, John Prine.
Feelings are strange, especially when they come true. I had a feeling that you'd be leaving soon. So I tried to rearrange all my emotions. But it seems the same no matter what I do. Your arm rests upon your shoulder. Hide the pain while the rain makes up my mind. Well, my feet are wet from thinking this thing over. And it's been so long since I felt the warm sunshine. Just give me one good reason. And I promise I won't ask you anymore. Just give me one extra season. So I can figure out the other four.
Philip Donnelly from Dublin, why don't you play a solo?
Makes me wonder what I'd say. Next time all the words I'd like to plan on. Last time was the only thing you seen. New umbrella rests upon your shoulder. Hide the pain while the rain makes up the man. Well, my feet
feet hours from thinking this thing over. And it's been so long since I felt the warm sunshine. Just give me one good reason, and I promise I won't ask you anymore. Just give me one extra season, so I can figure out the other four.
That fellow knows how to play a little bit of guitar there, doesn't he?
Yes, he certainly does.
That's a marvelous arrangement.
He's the only Philip Donnelly I know.
Philip Donnelly, that is an Irish name if I ever heard one, too.
Well, that's straight from Dublin, Clontarf.
He still
resides there. He resided in Nashville for 7 years. That's where we met. But now he's living back in Dublin.
Except when he travels with you, I guess.
Right. And he's been out the last couple of years with the Everly Brothers. And then we got back together again about 9 months ago. John reckons it's because I figured out who sings the best. I figured after he was out with Phil and Don for a while, one night it came to him in a dream, and he figured he had to finally choose who sang better, me or the Everly Brothers.
And what was the answer, Philip?
Well, he's here, isn't he?
Boy, how do Phil and Don feel about that?
I don't know, but they're from Muhlenberg County, so they understand.
Yeah.
Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County?
Yeah, my mother's father, John Luther Ham, he used to pick with Ike Everly. Don Phil's dad and Merle Travis, they're all from Muhlenberg County.
Do you still have family there or not?
Not so much in Muhlenberg County. We have a family reunion there. There's not much left in Muhlenberg County because they stripped the whole county.
Sure did.
Coal mining is just about the only the number one thing there for work, you know, so they're done stripping now because they got all the coal out. So like a lot of people are looking for jobs now in Muhlenberg County, you know. I mean, if you don't work at a grocery store, you don't work for a post office, then you've got to work in the mines if you want to stay there.
And that's a fact of life, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's why my father and mother raised me and my three brothers up in Chicago to get factory work. They didn't want to work. My father didn't want to work in the mines. He didn't want us to have to work in the mines.
But meanwhile, you've moved back south yourself, or have been for
a few
years now.
Yeah, I've been in Nashville for 8 years now. Nashville, Tennessee, with I married my bass player, Rachel Pierre Prine. Lost my bass player, but gained a wife.
She taking good care of you?
She sure is.
You look healthy.
Well, I'm a pretty happy guy these days.
I guess. Listen, you wanted to play some newer material, too. Is there something from one of your last couple albums?
Let's play something from German Afternoons.
What do you feel like doing, John?
How about The Speed of the Sound of Loneliness?
That sounds nice.
Good. Good.
What key were we doing in today?
Let's do it in the people's key. G.
Okay.
You're still in tune, Philly? Sound alone. It's like a metric system. Space age loneliness.
Come home late, come home early. Come on, big, when you feel small. Come on straight, come on curly. Some paths don't come on right. What in the world's gonna be? What in heaven's name have you done? You've broken the speed of the sound of loneliness. You're out there running just to be on the run. Well, I got a heart compared with a fever. I got a worried and a jealous man. How can the love that'll last forever? You have so far behind. What a
One of my favorite songs from the new album. Yeah, that's yeah, it's got that classic John Prine feel to it. Favorite songs from the new album. Yeah, that's yeah, it's got that classic John Prine feel to it.
Thank you. I don't know how I managed to get so many melodies out of the same three chords.
Well, that's one of the, you know, that's an interesting thought.
Well, it took me about 7 months to learn how to play one chord, like we're... Is everybody out there listening that's ever tried to play guitar or anything? Most of the time when you go to sit down, no matter how hard you want to try, the first million times that you pick it up, it sounds like this.
That's it.
And like the very first time I sat down in my bedroom by myself and I went, a G chord, and it sounded like one, and I made music myself in my room with nobody around. I sat there and laid my ear on the wood. And I did that for about 3 hours, and I'm still in awe over this. So I guess that's how I can pick melodies out of one chord. You know, I can't believe I can make music with two hands.
But you know it when it's there, right? I mean, it's one of those things that has to be intuitive to an extent, too, isn't it?
It's like meeting somebody that you never met before, but you feel like you've known them all your life. That's when a song comes along, it sort of kind of feels like to me. You know?
German Afternoons is the most recent John Prine album. It's on
Oh
Boy Records, yeah.
I know the president personally.
Yes, I understand he's a wonderful musician and a so-so businessman, or?
Well, actually, he's quite a sharp businessman.
Yeah?
Matter of fact, he's in John Q. Prine is his name.
Sharp and dresser, too.
Sharp dresser, and he understands me. He's the first record company president that I've had to deal with. The guy, he calls me John. He's actually one of the few record company executives that remember my name. And we get along pretty good. We have an argument every once in a while, but we go to a bar and settle it.
If somebody wanted to correspond with the president of Old Boy Records, where would they write?
They would write to John Q. Prine, care of Old Boy Records. That's O-O-H, like Old Boy, like Old Boy. All my love, all my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing. Old Boy. Old Boy Records, P.O. Box 36. I can't even read. We just changed this thing.
Can I read it for you, John?
36. What's that say, Philip? 36.
36099. P.O. Box 36099. Los Angeles, California. Zip code is 90036.
Why, that's mighty Celtic of you.
We'll return in just a moment.
This Sunday, by popular demand, it's an encore performance of a special presentation.
Whatever you call them, they're still reruns. And if you're watching television this Sunday, you can always watch another rerun of 60 Minutes, Our House, or the Disney Movie. But if you're tired of shows you've already seen, start your Sunday with 21 Jump Street, the explosive new hit series that takes baby-face cops and turns them into undercover high school students. Then, get ready for four different kinds of comedy. First, it's the outrageous comedy of Married with Children. followed by the romantic comedy of Duet. Then George C. Scott.
We are back on Mixed Bag with our special guest this morning, Mr. John Prine. John, having moved to Nashville, have you become part of the Nashville music community, or are you an outsider?
You can't hardly avoid becoming part of the Nashville music community. There's a real nice atmosphere going on, musical atmosphere going on right now in Nashville, Tennessee. Underground, sort of, which I'm familiar with because I was in Chicago when Steve Goodman and I started out, and I know when something was going on there. I've hung out in the village when things have been hot in the village, when everybody feels like doing stuff, poets feel like writing, singers feel like singing like that, and like I've been in Boston when things have been like that. And something's going on in Nashville right now. Nashville proper, the music industry, is still a kind of old, hardcore, you know, but that's kind of going out slowly. I mean, the new types are going to take over sooner or later, if no other reason because of natural things. People get old and die, so we're all waiting in line, you know. And I don't want to see anybody die, but like that's the way the world goes around. And you can see a kid hit town to get a job washing dishes, and he'll come up and go, "John Prine, I always loved your songs." And 6 months later, that kid might have co-written a number one country hit, and it's good to see that can happen. You know,
how about you as a writer for some of the other established singers? Has that come up at all?
I get asked to, and I get asked to co-write with just about everybody in town. Guys that have people stand in line to write with them want to write a song with me, which is, I think, a real nice compliment. And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. The songs I write with other people are never quite like songs I would write by myself. You know, it's sort of a different way to look at things. A lot of the songwriters, they look at it more as a craft, which I can appreciate. But my songs come to me from some unworldly place, and I just got to open up the door when they knock on my door and put my name on them. You know?
We wanted to ask if you could do something else that's one of the more recent
songs. Sure.
There's
a song off of Aimless Love, which was my first album on Old Boy Records. We put it out 2 years ago. And the song is called Bottomless Lake, and it's a bit of a story behind it. I was growing up in Maywood, Illinois. My dad was a steel worker, a tool and die maker, and he was a vice president of the local steel workers union. He helped organize the steel workers back in the 30s, and the steel workers union. And anyway, what I'm trying to say is he made enough money to keep us with groceries and pay the rent and keep us in clothes, me and my three brothers, and take care of my mom. And then if he had a little bit of money saved up, he'd go have a beer. And somehow he'd save enough money so we'd have something that resembled a vacation once a year. Some years we couldn't actually go down to Kentucky or anything. So he'd figure out a 3-day vacation where we'd go in a circle and stay at a Holiday Inn that had a swimming pool. And little did I know I'd be living in the things for like later on in life. But anyway, that was his idea of showing us a good time. One time he couldn't even afford to stay overnight at a place. We'd spent the money that month. And He took us to a little lake about 40 miles west of Chicago before they built suburbs all out there. It's still countryside. And we're driving out there. We had an old Plymouth with running boards on it. We had bamboo fishing poles. My mom had fried up a bunch of chicken. And me and my three brothers are sitting in the back seat. And Dad's taking us for a big day out at the lake. We're going to catch fish. We know we are. We got that feeling. And my mother always kind of was scared of my father's driving just because she liked to do this. You know, we didn't have interstates then, so when you'd go to pass somebody in an 18-wheeler be coming in your lane, my mother would say, "My God, Bill, you're going to kill every one of us." And I'd look at my brothers and go, I never heard my mother lie before, and I'd say, "You know, she's right. He's going to kill us." You know, like I figured, why would she say that? In other words, so my dad was a very smart man, and he brought about 5-6 quarts of Pabst Blue Ribbon with him, and he hadn't drank any yet. And he backed out on this pier, this old Plymouth. He backed it out because at the end of the day, after the 5 quarts were done, he could drive straight instead of having to back off of a pier, because the pier was only wide enough for the car. So we're out there fishing. It's a beautiful day, and all of a sudden, out of clear blue sky, the sky turns black, and water starts pouring out of the sky. Now rain, just water is pouring, you know. It's like something like out of the Bible. And the water's pouring, and my mother gathers up the fried chicken and the cloth and everything, and we throw it in the back seat. We try and tie on the bamboo poles as good as we can. We're getting soaked. We get inside the car. My dad turns on the car and turns on the old windshield wipers, the ones that run off the carburetor. And the windshield wipers get up about to the middle of the windshield, and they look at us like, what do you want us to do? Like, you know, so you can't see anything. But my dad knows it's just straight ahead, and we'll be off the pier and on land. There's a big oak tree at the end of the pier on the land. We're about halfway. He's driving real slow and steady. Now, we can't see nothing because it's all water pouring around. It's like a car wash. And my mother says, Bill, my God, you're going to kill us all. And lightning strikes the oak tree, and it shakes the whole pier. And it starts raining twice as hard. And my mother thought we'd driven off the pier and fell in the light. And she had us convinced of it. So I looked at my brothers, and I said, she's right, you know, I said. And finally, 2 minutes later, we were on land. So many years later, I was out fishing up in Minnesota above Duluth by myself, and I wrote this song out in a boat. And just after I wrote it, I caught myself a 3-pound northern. So this is called The Bottomless Lake. It's about anybody who takes a weekend trip, you got to be careful where you go. And the song is not as long as the story, John. Here's a story of a man and his family and a big trip that they took. Well, I heard all about it in a restaurant, and I read it in a history book. They rented a car at the Erie Canal, but the car didn't have no brake. Said, my God, this car is gonna fall into the bottomless lake. Well, Mama turned to Daddy with a pale face, said, I've done something horribly wrong. Well, the water's still running in the bathtub, and I think I left the kitchen light on. Then I heard a crash, the car went splash, and the compass rolled around and around. Oh, for heaven's sake, we fell in the lake, and I think we're all gonna drown. We are falling down, down to the bottom of a hole in the ground. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. I'm so scared I could hardly breathe. I may never see my sweetheart again. There was plenty of food in the back seat, and the windows was rolled up tight. So we all nibbled on a chicken leg and told stories way through the night. Well, Pa told one that he told before, and the baby got a bellyache. Said, my God, this car is falling down the bottomless lake. We are falling down, down to the bottom of a hole in the ground. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. I'm so scared I could hardly breathe. I may never see my sweetheart again. Well, Papa played the music on the radio, and Mama rocked the baby to sleep. He said he would have taken the other road, but he didn't think the lake was that deep. If the ferry had been there at the end of the pier, we'd be halfway to Uncle Jake's. Instead of looking at fish out the window, I wish we'd hit the bottom of the bottomless lake. So we are falling down, down to the bottom of a hole in the ground. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. I'm so scared I can hardly breathe. I may never see my sweetheart again. Now, John, this is the moral of the story. You know, when you got characters in a story, you got to have an ending. Sometimes I've had to kill off the characters, like in some of my songs. And I like to kill as few characters as possible. So if you don't want to kill them off, and you can't save them because they're in the bottomless lake, you just put a moral at the end of the story. So if you're ever going on a big trip, you better be careful out there. Well, spot everything on your good foot and wear clean underwear. Take along a Bible in the back seat, read of David and of Solomon. For if you make a mistake in the bottomless lake, you may never see your sweethearts again. If you should make a mistake in the bottomless lake, you may never see your sweethearts again. If you should make a mistake in the bottomless lake, you may never see your sweethearts again. That's right.
Okay, words to live by.
Well,
or at least not die by, right?
Advice.
Yeah, from John Prine on Mixed Bag here at WNEW FM. John, you mentioned Steve Goodman before. Of course, you guys, your careers were always linked in a certain fashion, and even after Steve's death, you have been identified with him and helped put together, I guess, some of those benefits in California and Chicago.
Al Bonetta, who's managed Steve and I throughout the years, our best friend, our manager, and actually organized those, him and Dan Einstein, and I got to help out however I could.
Well, you...
And so did a lot of study, Stevie's friends. There's many friends and fans of Stevie's helped organize those tributes.
It's interesting that Steve recorded a number of your songs, including Blue Umbrellas, which we heard earlier,
mm-hmm.
But actually only wrote one song together, is that right?
No, we've written, Steve and I wrote, we wrote 5, 6, 7 songs throughout the years. We'd write songs sometimes and then forget about them. Stevie had a perfect memory, and it would be him to remind me years later. He'd go out, well, I'm going to record that song we wrote, and I said, what's that? And he said, how much tequila did we drink last night? And I said, I don't know, we wasn't even together. And he goes, no, that's the name of the song, Brian. And I said, geez, I don't even remember writing it. And this song here we're getting ready to do is the first song Steve Goodman and I ever wrote together. It was just after we hit the Big Apple for the first time, and within 24 hours we had recording contracts, and we went home with money in our pockets, and we were returning heroes of the folk scene in Chicago, like it was actually two kids could go to New York in 24 hours and get a record contract and come home, like, you know, if they could have thrown a ticket tape for A4s, they would have. So anyway, me and Goodman come back the second time, about 2 weeks after we got the record contract, and we're finalizing everything and meeting people, and they're taking us around town. And at the time, Paul Anka and Al Bonetta were managing Steve and I. And Paul was playing at the Waldorf Astoria, and they gave Paul, they gave him this grand suite that everybody that plays there gets the best suite at the Waldorf for a dressing room. So Paul doesn't need it because he resided in New York City at the time. And then he says, hey, why don't you and Stevie use it if you guys want to write or something? So we go up there and we're going to write, and I figure I want to go down to the Village for a while. And then I went over to JP's on First Avenue for a while. And then I hit a couple other bars and heard some jazz. And about one, I come back in and Goodman's actually writing, you know. And I look over his shoulder and he's got two lines down. It says, it was all that I could do to keep from crying. Sometimes it seems so useless to remain. And I felt kind of goofy, so I got up and jumped up and down in the bed and started playing an imaginary fiddle. And I said, oh, Stevie, you're right, a real weeper. And I started getting on his case. So he started laughing. And because it was a dressing room for Paul Anka, they had a full bar set up. So me and Goodman took a bunch of different liquors and poured them in the sink with a plug in the sink, and we mixed a special cocktail punch of just everything, a little bit of everything, a little bit of Dom Perignon, a little bit of brandy, a little bit of Jack Daniels, and quite a bit of Wild Turkey, and some vodka and gin, and some punch and 7-Up. And we put ice cubes in it and started drinking it, and we were in Stevie, I said, you can't write, I said, we got to make this a funny song. So it's, you don't have to call me darling, but you never even call me by my name. Stevie always did this the best. I wouldn't let Stevie put my name on the song because I thought it was just a goofy song. We was having fun with our cocktail punch, and it turned out to be his first number one hit. And he asked me then, he says, hey, Brian, now do you want your name on it? Now it's a hit. And I said, no, I told you I didn't want my name on it. So the next day he showed up at my house with a 1942 Wurlitzer all wooden Victory model jukebox. And said, here you go, you got to take this for part of the royalties. This, you never even call me by my name, and if it hadn't been for this last verse that Goodman wrote, there'd never been a hit. It was all that I could do to keep from crying. Sometimes it seems so useless to remain. You're the one that always tried to change me. And that is why I'll always stay the same. I'll hang around as long as you will let me. Though I never mind standing in the rain. You don't have to call me darling, darling, but you never even call me by my name. Okay, Johnny, remember the words. Well, I've seen my name a few times in the phone book. And on
the neon sign above the bar that I used to own. There's only one thing that I'm really sure of. I want to hear it when my Savior calls me home. And I'll hang around as long as you will let. Though I never mind standing in the rain. And you don't have to call me darling, darling,
darling.
But you never even call me by my name. Now, you don't have to call me Waylon Jennings. No, and you don't have to call me Charlie Pratt. You don't have to call me Merle Haggard anymore. Even though you know I'm on your fighting side. Now here's where Steve got to figuring. He pitched it to David Allan Coe. This is all the song that we wrote together. And he told David Allan Coe, he says, man, he says, I think me and Brian have written the perfect country and western song. And David says, no, you guys left some things out. And Stevie said, you're right. He said, we left out those real country things like dead dogs, like Old Chef, and Christmas, and Mom, and farms, and prisons, and trains, and trucks. So the song was already long enough. So Stevie put all these in one verse, and this is what made it a hit. Well, the dog got drunk the day that Mom got out of prison. And I drove a pickup truck down to Pickerack in the rain, or something like that. By the time I got the pickup to the railroad station, doggone it, she got run over by a damned old train. But I'll hang around as long as you will last. Yes, I will. No, I never mind standing in the rain. And you don't have to call me darling, darling. But you never even call me. No, I wonder why you don't call me. Well, you never even call me by my name. Think about it, darling. I hope Stevie can hear WNEW up in heaven.
Well, the music lives on, as they say. John Prine, thank you so much for coming by with your guitar and with your talented cohort there, Philip Donnelly.
It's our pleasure, John. It's good to see you again.
Great to see you again and come back and visit us again.
Good to be in New York City. We got two nights off and we're going to blow it out.
Okay. Party hardy.
All right.
I was a child, my family was traveling down in western Kentucky, where my parents were born. And there's a backwards old town that's often remembered. So many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy wants to take me back to Muhlenberg County. Down by the Green River, where paradise lay. Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train is halted anyway. Well, sometimes we travel right down the Green River to the abandoned old prison down by Adria Hill. Where the air smells like snakes and we shoot with our pistol. The empty pop bottles, oh, it's all there with pistol. to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where a beer dies out. Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's cold train is hauled it anyway. How about it, Jason? With the world's largest shovel, where they tortured the timber and they stripped all the land. They dug for the coal till the land was forsaken, and then they wrote it all down as a progress of man. And Daddy won't take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where pure dies away. Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's cold train is all the way away. Eric Carlson, how about a solo on the mandolin? My soul will own up to the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting just 5 miles away from wherever I am. Daddy wants to take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay. Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's cold train is hauled it anyway. Mr. Peabody's cold train is hauled it anyway. Mr. Peabody's cold train is hauled it away. These five guys are the guys that wrote all my songs. Tommy Prime, take a bow. Jack Prime, take a bow. And your buddies, Noah, and Jack, and Taylor. We'll see you later.
Thanks a lot, have a great night.